Welcome to the Hype Leadership Podcast. David and Lindsay Curry are dynamic entrepreneurs focused in high-performance leadership and coaching in sales and service. Through the Hype Leadership Podcast, David and Lindsay strive to serve in your journey towards a high-performance life. And now, here are your hosts, David and Lindsay Curry.
Welcome to Hype Leadership Podcast. My name is Lindsay Curry, and this is my co-host, David Curry. We are thrilled to have you with us today. Our quote of the day is inspect what you expect. And that is actually a quote from our very special guest, his father, Eugene Bell. We are excited to have our guest, Andy Bell, to the show today. Andy is an outstanding leader in the final expense market who leads by example. He has personally produced 1.5 million since 2021. Wow. And is the second highest producing agent behind our number one agent. He received the Power Principles Award in 2024, and we are thrilled to have Andy with us today. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
My man, what do you call yourself, the German hillbilly?
The German hillbilly. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Welcome to the real world here in 2025, where podcasts are a normal thing that everybody's doing. So thanks for being here. Thanks to everybody tuning in. Andy, I'm excited, man. We've gotten pretty close over the past 4 years now, and it's been a great journey. We've experienced Hawaii together, Buenos Aires, and Italy. I mean, we've been to some beautiful places around the country, and I just want to thank you for being a part of our journey. And we're excited and thankful to be a part of yours, and look forward to where you're going. I know you got a lot going on in 2025. You got a new focus. You've learned a lot still throughout 2024. So, Andy, I wanted to ask you about that because I kind of love diving into these quotes. We love theming our calls and maybe some teaching lessons throughout this podcast on those. And you, when I asked you that, you went back to something your dad had taught you. So it must mean a lot to you. And I'd love to know what, when we say that, inspect what you expect, what does that mean to you, man? Where'd that come from?
Well, it started back when I was in high school. Very passionate about football. I love sports. And really wasn't getting as far as I wanted to, you know, as far as like at the end of the game. See, I played both ways, always out of shape, or I want to do a little bit better at, say, especially part of the game like punting. And my dad sat down with me. He goes, son, you're just going to have to inspect what you expect. And when he explained it to him, he said, if you expect to be here, then you got to go back and inspect. You got to look at what you're doing to get to this point right here. Mm-hmm. So when I did that, then I'm like, huh, was I doing everything that I could do to get to that point? So that's when I increased my workout regimen. I went to running, you know, 4 or 5 miles a day and staying after practice, working on different things. And I got to the end game. So when you ask what it means to me, it is very, very special because everything we do in sales, it all falls back to the same thing. And I didn't even realize that the very first road to the sale I had was back in high school when I set up this workout regimen. So, and there again, like right now, when I sit there and I dive in deep, it's kind of like he's in my corner. So
that's powerful, because when you think about that, that was one moment, right? When your dad just spoke those words into you, that have carried you through the rest of your life, right? Because you're using it day in, day out. Hey, I'm evaluating what I'm doing. And clearly, Andy, your numbers speak to that. You are one of the hardest workers within Orca Life, hands down. I know David would second that. I mean, your work ethic is like no other that we've truly ever seen.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. And I mean, honestly, I would say not only work ethic, but really professionalism. And I think this quote kind of speaks to that, because we've watched you, Andy, progress and better yourself every year. And when I say that, I remember us as we planned our award celebration. And I'm pretty sure, I guess it was 2021 when Andy started the business with us. And I think you were you number one agent or number two agent that year?
Number two.
But you only had 10 to 11 months worth of work put in.
About 10
that year, because of when
actually
you
less than that, really, because it went. I started, I didn't even realize, we didn't pay no attention to the numbers that much until I got about 3 months to the end. I'm like, man, I got a chance at this.
Man, I did.
I feel
like, what if I was wrong, Andy?
But no, exactly. And I remember that. And I remember, damn, this guy. And it's not like we had a bunch of slouches in the company, right? It wasn't like we were a low producing. We've always considered ourselves to be the highest producing final expense agency per agent in the country. We focused on one thing. We've become very, very good at it. And you came in from the start. And I remember at the end of that year, you said, man, I got a lot of work to do. I got a lot of work to do, and I'm going to switch my focus. So I want to kick this off, because I know you were in the car business for a while. You were in a car business for a long time. And I guess, were your expectations not being met by what that career was doing to you? Or what expectation were you looking for when you started the career here in the insurance world?
Well, looking back in the car business, I was in it for 28 years. The last 18, I'd done the training. But you're sitting there in the car business. It's a 60, 70-hour work week every week. There's really not much life. The position where I was at, unless you owned a dealership, you wouldn't get paid no more money. It was kind of like a dead-end road. And by looking at me, and you know me, I'm not no spring chicken. So if there was a time for me to make a move, I needed to be making it. And the opportunity presented itself. I got to ride with a gentleman by the name of Brian Pierce that I had trained in the car business. So, the opportunity was there. It was basically the same thing I did. What the biggest difference is all we really got to do is just help people and get paid way more money. And then I can work 2 to 3 less days a week. And I saw the end game for retirement. So it was just a win-win for me.
I love that.
I've loved how Brian, what did it feel like being how the student became that teacher and somebody you had watched train in the car business? Because you had to see him being successful here. You wouldn't have made that jump for yourself, right?
Well, I knew Brian's character, and I knew how gifted that he was, this is a good thing what we do, and I kind of helped him there. He pulled me into the car business, so we're basically helping each other now. So it's been very, very awesome. Very awesome to be hanging with him.
Yes. He is. He's wonderful. He's a great guy, and true business partner, no doubt. So, over at this point, Andy, you have over, 35 years in sales experience as far as your career. What have you learned? And I'm sure you've learned a lot, but what have you learned along the way that held true through car sales to insurance?
Well, people are always people. And typically when we're dealing with sales, the objections are always going to be there. So all the objections are still kind of the same. You're just asking different questions to kind of eliminate them, break them down a little earlier. I've had people ask me, like, oh, you're doing so good in the insurance. Why haven't you done this years and years ago? And here's where I think God's got a plan for all of us. So everything I've done in the car business, I believe was his plan to lead me to where I'm at now. So that's.
Absolutely. Well, and truly setting you up, because I love what you said. People are always people, right? And it is a people business. And, I believe and I know that you're really good at reading people and really great at connecting with people. And, you know, because people gravitate towards you. So I know that that's something that you've learned definitely along the way that's helped you along your journey.
Absolutely. Yeah, the sales has helped me there. Just one more thing to add in there on the big difference, though. There is a difference between the car business and what we do now, because we truly, in the car, I'm not saying we don't help people in the car business, but it's a whole lot different with a piece of metal than it is when you're truly helping entire families in what we do. So the reward with what we do now, or especially for me, it's not always financial. The emotional reward, the gratitude is very special. And as you get older, there again, I'm a little bit older than most, I really appreciate it.
Yeah, there's no doubt, man. I mean, Glenn Crabtree, our president, he's been with us on the show. Hopefully you all listeners have met him before. We're not selling vacuum cleaners, folks that live on dirt floors, right? You know, what we do makes a big difference. It can make a generational difference. And that's a big thing that I had to get behind as a part of my personal journey, you know. Not having the life experience, Andy, it's, you know, like you said, we're the old dogs in this business. Now it's wild to see these 22-year-olds. I mean, Lindsay and I just interviewed a 19-year-old that's being super successful on our call with the company yesterday. So 19-year-olds in the, as we could bluntly say it, the death care business. You know, helping folks plan and prepare for their funeral expense at our, you know, main focus. That as a 19-year-old, as I started as a 30-year-old, it was hard to get around that. But it's, you know, the more and more that you see it, because I remember we'd have conversations and we would almost talk about, what are you going to say? What are you going to say, Lindsay? What do you tell people when they ask you, when your friends ask you, what do you do for a living? And you're like, oh, man, I just travel around, help people, make sure they don't leave a debt. So they may have planned their funeral with them, you know.
What I said. That was. I mean, just keeping it simple. We help seniors. That's what we do. You connect with them, you help them, and, you know, they may not know that they need your help, right? But that's part of our job, is just to identify that need, because that's so important.
We help procrastinators. But the people who's put this off forever and a day, and we help get their head out of the way so they can truly protect the family, then you have the most gracious people in the world that you've helped them. So
it is a very thank-filled job that we have. And a problem that everybody has. That's another thing I've loved about our business, is nobody can run from it, right?
No.
It is what it is, and we're glad to be able to help with that.
So, Andy, let me ask you this. Is, as your journey through this insurance business, you've been here since 2021. How do you constantly inspect the business and inspect what it is that you're doing along the way? Is that something you do daily, monthly, weekly? What does that look like for you?
All of the above. It is all of the above. You know, basically when the average person looks in, or we do our trainings, it's, our trainings are normally centered around what our process is. And I mean, we can start right there. The process is more of a middle of the day or hour or 2 segments during the day. But that process has to be inspected from start to finish as well. Because if you're expecting an end result with an app, you know, you're going to have to inspect or evaluate, look at the different steps through that process to get better, to get to that. You got to constantly try to get better. That's the part of the inspection. What can I do to make each process better? So over time, you know, I fell on my face a little bit when I first started, but tweaking things here or there has really, really helped me in my process there. But when you're talking about everywhere else, well, like I say, that's just a part of the process. Okay. What do you do before that set? So there's a step to there. See, I got a road to the sale to my road to my sale. When I look at it, because in my road to the sale for next week starts on Friday morning. So there's things that I'm going to do every Friday that's going to prep me to where my mind can be sharp and focused on the Monday. And as I've gone through, my roles have kind of changed a little bit. So my road to the sales, I've got a few more. And if I don't have something organized and set out to where I'm inspecting, the end result can seem so far away. You can't even get to it if you don't have a path to get to it. And that's why the inspect, you know, what you expect. If you expect to be somewhere and you don't have a roadmap to get there, you're not going to get there. I've tried it. It does not work. So, and that's, and there again, life in general, everybody's got a little road to the sale. They just don't realize they're using it. If they're successful, they're using some form of it.
Mm. I love that. Let me ask you, as you're, because yes, we do know that you've put this road to the sale process together. Is that something, are you getting feedback from others, or is this just more for self-reflection? What does that look like for you?
Both. Like I say, I love helping people. I've trained for a third of my life. So it's hard to train somebody if you can't prove it works. So a lot of the stuff implemented, you know, is to make things work. So every part of it from the very beginning to the end, like, if you know, if like say we deal with objections in what we do. So if we're constantly getting objections at the end of our sit, then we need to figure out a way to address those at the beginning and incorporating into our process. See, that's what I loved about when we started here. There was already a process in place. Was it perfect? No, but none of us are perfect.
Right.
And you know, we always thrive to get better. So if we can make anything better, only thing we're doing is helping everybody around us. So yeah, do I get feedback? Yeah, I get feedback on stuff. I'll get calls and like, because they say, oh, I'm good at objections, but I don't really get that many objections. Now, have I heard them and can I overcome them? Sure. But I really don't like getting them. But yeah, I get the feedback. I get a lot of thank yous. You know, like I say, one of the biggest thank yous I ever got is from Brian Pierce when he asked me to come work here. There's no better thank you or gratitude.
Andy, what is, because as I listen to everything you say about this, the at the core, right? At the core of what is pushing you to do this and to live out this hard part. I mean, really, it's a swimming upstream, right? I mean, most people we talk, you so much culture talks about complacency, and you see it every day. You know, you see it every day that people just choose comfortability. They choose complacency instead of living out high performance. And I still remember, and I'm going to open this up because I remember the words that you said after being here for 10 months, becoming a close to $300,000 producer within the first 10 months of you being here, the number two producer. I mean, when you guys started at that point, we had only had a handful of agents to produce that kind of premium, let alone within your first 10 months. Now, we're very happy to say that our processes and as a team, we've all gotten better and the numbers continue to blow us away every year. But again, you looked at yourself at that point and you said, I'm not happy with this part of my business. My persistency number is not where it needs to be. I'm going to go back to work, and I'm going to go back to work in a different way. So not only you were a high performer, right? You were superseding most people's expectations in the same role that you were in, but you weren't satisfied. And I guess I say all that because I wanted to ask you where that comes from.
Well, first of all, I mean, we're always going to be helping people. I'm never going to be satisfied. But like the goal with the persistency, because I know at some point in time, and see, back then I had no downlines, but at that point in time, I knew I was going to. There's just no way I was going to not bring in people that I care about into a business that could get one out of a factory and to be self-sustaining, because ultimately that's our goal, is to be job optional. But it's one thing to be high producing, and I guess that was okay. And the main reason I wasn't satisfied with that is, though, even though my persistency, they said, was good for how much I wrote, it was not good enough for me. So that's why I dug deep. And I mean, I picked the brains of everybody in our organization on different terms, everything I could use to put something together to help the persistency. So that's where that come from, to really help the persistency. I felt if I could do that, then I could help others do that. And it would be contagious. Anything good and if you're successful, it's going to be contagious because somebody else is going to want to do it. I want to be the good influence. At my age, you know, that's the only thing I'm going to be leaving behind, is what little legacy I can leave, or the people that I've helped. It's not necessarily the money that I make. It's going to be more the people that I've helped in my journey.
Oh, yeah. And I think, like you said, man, you've been a trainer now for a third of your life. So you probably had that vision. You knew what was next for you. And you knew that within 10 months of doing something, you weren't going to be as great as you could potentially be. And if you were going to teach somebody, you wanted to get to the best you possibly could, which is a great driver. And it's a great, that's a wonderful motivator. And that's kind of where we have to look right inside and say, what are we doing? Because most people that settle for the complacency, they don't have that bigger reason why. And, you know, it's very clear that you're doing it for other people here, Andy, and I love that. You talked about that, right? Downlines. It's a term in our business. I love saying partners, you know, our business partners, the people that we, as you could say, technically in the insurance business, as an upline, the people we work for, the downlines are the people that we're out there working for. We're 4 years into the business. You've gotten great at, you know, being your own personal producer and being responsible for yourself and helping others the best you can. But now you've got that true hook, right? Like, yeah, once you bring somebody in this business, we want them to succeed more than we want ourselves. And I know that's there at your heart. What has that role, what's been some of the challenges, things you've learned? What's the last year to year, 2 years looked like for you? How's that been?
It's kind of like I started all over.
It's always easier doing it alone, isn't it?
Yeah. Just going out being a singing producer is, you know, I look at it now and I'm like, well, that's just so easy. That's so stress free. But this right here is that I'm a rookie all over. The biggest thing that I have going for me is I have a network of great leaders that I can lean on to help. But you're absolutely right. It is about putting them first and inspect what you expect. If I expect them to be good, you know, I've got to inspect so many more little areas. And it's not just the road to the sale. It's, you know, getting up, checking business. I mean, there's just a whole lot more that's entailed when you got to download. But if you want them to be successful, you first lead by example. But the other part is you got to teach them how to be leaders too. So, and that's all part of the process. There again, I am still such a rookie at this. You know, I've had, you know, like I say, I've learned a lot as far as most of it being positive. But one thing I'll tell a new leader coming in, put you some money in the banks, you're going to need it. Because when you're taking on new people, you know, there's going to be struggles in there, and you've got to have their back. Because when they become leaders, they're going to understand they're going to have their people's back and so forth. So, but yeah, and there again, like I say, I am still learning. I'm an old guy, and I'm trying to learn technology. See, everything's going to technology too.
You get it changed since we better.
It has, and I'm, you know, so I've come a long ways there and got a long ways to go to.
Yes. Hard. It's a hard moving target.
It is. It's ever changing. That's for sure. It's hard to keep up with all the stuff. So Andy, let me ask you this, you know, especially based on your quote, what is your expectation now of this business? You know, now that you're in this new role, and I know you're juggling, you know, as you were speaking of, so many different things between making sure you're helping the brand new individual that just started, making sure they know how to check their commission statement, along the lines of even training, answering phone calls. So what are now your expectations for this year?
My expectations of this year is not even centered around me. My expectations, what my goals are, is all the people that I've got in right now, I want to get them self-sustaining. I want to get them self-sufficient. They're buying their own leads, and I want to get their confidence level to where they can step out and become leaders as well. That is my number one goal. So you can only imagine what my road to the sale is like. Y'all have done it. Look at your all's team. So it is broad, and I'm continuously adding things to inspect. So, but I'm staying on top of it. You know, as David always said, get you a legal pad out and write down your to-dos, because that's, and there again, I'm not an iPad person, even though I got one, but my stuff, I've got legal folders all over the place, and I jot my stuff down. I got a list of my agents. And then what I normally typically go through is I make my calls. I try to do a lot of one-on-ones and line things out. But my end goal is I want all my downline to be successful while maintaining everything else. So I still want to get out there and write some business. It's just a little bit harder to get to write on your own when you're on the phone 90% of that. So
yes. Yes, it absolutely is. It's you know, really those are some lofty goals, right? Because you're maintaining trying to maintain what you're doing, and then, you know, helping your up and coming leaders along the way. So it is very lofty for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I can tell you one thing, Andy, and that this was probably the hardest lesson that we have learned. And we continue to test this theory, and that is that you cannot want something or do something for somebody that they do not want for themselves.
Yes, sir.
And
I will agree with that.
I would love to set expectations for everybody, right? And it'd be wonderful if they would actually show up and go do what it takes to meet those expectations. But man, I'll tell, if they aren't setting those things for themselves and holding themselves accountable and really have the why, like we've talked about with you, why do you continue to take a bigger step? And that's something internal, right?
Right.
There's not a lot that I can do, Andy, to change that inside of you. And there's not a whole lot that we can do. We can kind of paint pictures for people. We can kind of set expectations for people. But if it doesn't set true to why, their why, a deep burning why, there's a lot of head beating up against the wall over that thought right there, man. And That's been the one, and you always want it, right? Like you're like, man, but it just what you say you want, it's right there. If we would just do this.
Right.
And then it's like, why don't you ever do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't we know what to do?
It's been written out.
So that I share that because that's one of the lessons again that early on in our career, when we were really trying to grow this business rapidly, and you know, you kind of sometimes bring the wrong people in because you don't have the best feeling, but they say what you want them to say, or they say what they should say, and you give them and you give them and you give and you give and you give, and it's like, what's going on? Why are we not getting it? And it comes from their expectations on themselves.
Sure. And yeah, what I try to do, and that's why memory tell you, I try to call them once a week, once, you know, sometimes once a day. But when I have goals set out, we normally have a little get together and everybody puts out their goals, but then I always try to pull them aside. So now what do you really want? Okay. What are you wanting to work for? Okay. What are you wanting to buy? And I try to get them to change their goals around like that, because sometimes you gotta create that why for them. So, I mean, that does that always work? No, but man, I'm reaching outside the box, because what you said, Dave, is so true. Is that way in a car business? You know, one of the managers always said, you know, hey, you know, go out and buy you a new car. Well, why would I do that? It's then you're going to work harder because you want to pay for it. So, you know, sometimes you got to put the carrot out in front of them, but it's not always money, because if they have enough money just to get by, they don't care, but it may be something else. That's why I think these companies, when they put on these trips, that pushes more people to work harder than just about anything else. Somebody, you know, like me, I'm trying to figure out a way, because I want to go to Germany this year or next year. And I'm just like, you know, I'm really going to have to take my one day a week and run leads and figure out a way to do that, because it's not going to happen 3 days of the week. So, but there you go, just putting a carrot out in front of them, and it's not your carrot, it's what theirs is. So,
oh yeah.
And that I just try to get them to raise their sights on what they want, because they ain't going to do anything for me. They're going to do it for themselves.
That's so true. And that just reminds me of, you know, betting on leadership, right? So we can think this person, and we've all done it. Hey, this person's going to be the rock star. This person's going to be the rock star. And the one that I didn't bet on is the rock star, right? Just like being at the horse track. I always bet on, you know, the one that usually doesn't come in first place. So, right? Yeah.
Promise they wasn't nobody betting on me when I come. This old guy coming from the car business.
I don't know about that now. I heard all about you before you got here. Something about you old dogs that have made your way in a business like that. When you're put in the fast lane with a process and a business that means more than buying a car or can ride and die on the economy the way it does. You guys are become the thoroughbreds here. You've had to fight a lot harder to make your seed in an industry and a business like that, and you've continued to prove yourself time and time again. We see it over and over that if you can win when it's hard, not that this is easy. We've always said it's not easy, but we have made it simple. Yeah. If you can win when it's hard, then we can make you win. We can really allow for success when it becomes simple. Andy, what? Leave us with one thing. And I know I asked you, as we kind of talked about this, to give us your expectation of your business at this point. You know, we've talked about your past. We've talked about so much success. We've talked about a few challenges. We've talked about where you're at in your stage of life. Give me an expectation and a thought to leave us all out here with.
Well, basically, the only thing I would want to leave everybody with is never be content with where you're at. Always be looking to grow, always be looking to learn. old saying go was, without growth, there's stagnation. And that stagnation and everything dies. If you're not growing, you are going backwards. I tell everybody that I'm around, you've always constantly got to be learning. Nobody's been doing this much longer than I have, but there's not a call out there that I'm not on. I don't care if it's on the same thing. There's always something that could be learned. So just make sure that you have two eyes, you got two ears, and you got one mouth. God created that for a reason. Keep your eyes open, visually learn, keep your ears open and listen. You're going to learn a million times more by listening than you ever will with that mouth. So, I want to leave anything else. Y'all get close to God. Okay. Cause I'm going to tell you, without him, I wouldn't be here. He's with me in the car every day. So.
Amen.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Andy, thank you so much for sharing today and pouring into all of our listeners. This was a fantastic episode. So I appreciate your time here today, and we will see you all next week.
David and Lindsay Curry are focused on high performance coaching and sales and service. Reach out today at 502-314-2789 or visit hype.financial. That's hype.financial to learn more. Thanks for listening to the Hype Leadership Podcast.